Good morning. Today's Daf Amud Mesia is Nun Ches. We are on Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We are starting at the two dots. We are on the topics of Karka, Hektesh, Shtaros, things that are going to be exempted from Ona'a. The Mishnah gave us a list of items that are exempt from Ona'a, so Karka and Hektesh are at the top of the list. Included in Karka is also going to be Avadim, included as well as going to be Shtaros. Anyway, so there are certain things that are just simply excluded from Ona'a. Now, the exclusion from Ona'a, so we spent a lot of time yesterday, Daf, talking about excluded in which direction. In other words, that they are not bound by Ona'a at all, or maybe they have no, there's no margin of error. In other words, Ona'a allows for a margin of error. Maybe Hektesh, for example, doesn't have an iota of margin of error. Okay, so there really is a range of positions in terms of what the Mishnah exactly means when it comes to this idea that there's no Ona'a by them. But if I can, just to reiterate the Mishnah yesterday, even though it's a little bit ambiguous, there's no Ona'a when it comes to Hektesh, and there's no Ona'a when it comes to Karka. Okay, so let's leave it like that. So so Hektesh and Karka and Shtaros and Avadim are excluded from Ona'a. And this grouping is also excluded from other halachas as well. So the Mishnah mentioned it. So what we're going to do right now is that we're just going to cover the other halachas in which these groupings are excluded from. So Ein Bayam Teshlo Mekefal. We're on Zayin Amud Beis, and we are halfway down on the Amud at the two dots, and it's not going to be subject to Kefal, Menahan Emili. So the Gemara says, what's the drasha? So we're going to do now, for the next 5-10 minutes, is that we're just going to be running through a series of drashas, where we're going to be using classic methodology of klal apart klal, in which we're going to exclude certain things from the halacha. So we are right now talking about kefal. The pasuk says, I'm not going to read the entire pasuk. Normally I do. Here I'm not going to. I'll call davar pesha klal. So this is it, classic. So the call davar pesha, that's already a generalization. Al shara chamur al sal sama prat. Then we go over specifics. Al kol aveda asher yamar chazur klal. Color part of cloth. Okay, good. So this now operates like a general, specific general. And iata danela kena prat ma prat mefurash davar metalta vegufa mammon. I've called davar metalta vegufa mammon. So in the middle, in the example, so what characteristics are we looking at? Things that are movable and things that are gufa mammon, that have intrinsic value. So yatsu karkaos. She'ina metaltalin yatsu avadim shekshula karkaos yatsu shtar she'afa pisha metaltalin ein gufan mamon. So excluded from this now is going to be karka, which is not movable, avadim, which is connected to karka, shtaros, which are not intrinsic value, and hekdeshos amakra re'eu v'lo lehekdesh. As far as hekdesh is concerned, hekdesh is going to be excluded from kefal because it says le're'ehu and not hekdesh. Good. Okay. So, just standard drushes in terms of the exclusion of these items from Kefal, and we continue. And lo tashlum arba v'chamisha maitaima, tashlum arba v'chamisha marachman v'lo tashlum shloshav arba. So the Gemara over here succinctly points out that the reason why they're excluded from dal v'hei is because dal v'hei has to be dal v'hei and not gimel v'dalet, meaning that once there's already an exclusion from Kefal, so that takes out 2x. So if 2x is taken out, so then you're never going to get to 4 and 5x. So the only time that there's going to be a penalty, a knas penalty of 4 and 5, is only when it's 4 and 5, and only 4 and 5, not 3 and 4. Okay. Shomer chinam eino nishba. Other areas of halacha in which they're excluded, and that's going to be shomer chinam, it does not make a shlua on these items. If you are asked to watch any of these items, and then something occurred along the lines of Gneva Vaveda, and you are a Shomer Chinam. We know that a Shomer Chinam is, in fact, Pater from having to pay. But with that Pater also comes a requirement of making a Shvua. You do not make a Shvua on these items. Minan Milatan Rabban, and here we go. Another round of Psukim, Drashas, Klal Prat Klal. So, Ki Yitain Ish Arehu Klal, Kesef Akelam Prat. V'gun Av Mibesa Ish Chazav Klal. So klal prat klal yata dan elakein prat mahaprat mefarash davar metaltav gufa mamon. I've called davar metaltav gufa mamon yatsu karkosh and metaltalin yatsu avan chikshigol karkosh yatsu shtar shaf apisha metaltalin ein gufa mamon and hekdeshos amakra re'ehu re'ehu velo shal hekdesh. I know I read all that quickly. It really is a repeat. Now, when I say repeat, We didn't repeat the same psukim. Obviously, they're different psukim talking about Shomer Chinam, but the drushas and the klal prado klal is nearly identical to what we said regarding Kefal. And notice it's a char eno mishalim. And now let's say you are a paid watchman. So, and now you are not going to have to pay. Meaning, if the item was stolen from you, or the and what you were watching was an eved, a shtar, karka, or hektesh, so you do not have to pay mananimili. And again, now this is going to be the third round of this. Again, a separate series of psukim that talk about a shomer sachar. And Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, ki yitein ish el rehu klal chamor oshor oseh prav v'chol mehem l'shmor chazor klal. Klal ha-prat o'klal yetzal den elakein ha-prat ma-prat meforash. Davar metalta v'gufa mamon, I've called davar metalta v'gufa mamon, yatsu karkos, yena metaltin, yatsu avadim shuk shilu karkos, yatsu shtar sha'af api, she metalta lin ein gufa mamon, and hekdeshos, amakra re'ehu, re'ehu v'lo shal hekdesh. Okay, all this is too easy, considering the fact that it's the same exact type of drasha for all three of these halachas that we just ran through. Okay, shomer chinam einu nishba. Okay, so if you are now a shomer chinam, so something occurs, so you're not going to be making a shvua. And again, a shomer chinam is going to be patur even from geneva v'aveda. Uri minhu. Okay, so now that we have this in place, that when you are a shomer chinam over something which belongs to hektesh, so you are going to be exempted from having to make a shvua. So this is going to be contradicted by a mishan shkalim. So b'nei ha'ir she'shalchu es she'klem v'nignevu ha'shavdu. So, we're talking about the mitzvah of machatzis ha'shekel, where you're going to be giving every male Jew, female's up for debate, but every male Jew is going to be required to give machatzis ha'shekel annually to the Beit HaMikdash. This is for the purpose of carbon zibor. Now, the halacha is that you're going to be sending up the machatzis ha'shekel in the month of Adar, because the new fiscal year in the Beit HaMikdash starts on the first day of Nisan. Okay, and that was a crash course in Shkalim. The Mishnayos and the Gemara Yerushalmi goes over this in much greater detail. And Baruch Hashem, we did this in the Daf. We did this a long time ago. So anyway, so what comes out over here is the following. The Mishnah in Shkalim, this is the second parak of Shkalim. So goes over the following scenario in which the Bnei Ayir Shachu Shikleim. So we had a communal collection of Machzis HaShekel. And in this communal collection of Machzis HaShekel, so what do? So we sent it with a courier. So and it'll become clear in a moment, but I'll say it right now. So we paid the courier. In other words, we paid the courier to go ahead and send the Shkalim over there. And Nignevu HaShavdu. And while the courier was en route to the Beis HaMikdash in order to deliver our Shkalim, so Geneva Aveda, the Shkalim were lost, or the item was stolen. So now, the Mishnah says the following: Imishenignevu haTruma. Sorry, let's do that correctly. Let me do that correctly. Imishenitruma haTruma. So then, Nishbaim ligizbarin v'imlav Nishbaim livnei ha'ir uvnei ha'ir shoklin achareim tachteihem. Okay, so says the Mishnah in Shkalim. It depends on when the Geneva and the Aveda occurred. Did it occur before the Truma was taken off or after the Truma was taken off? So that we understand this a little bit better, so let's just go back. So what happens is that there's going to be a Trumas Halishka in the Beis HaMikdash. All the coins are collected into a Lishka, into a chamber, and then what's going to happen is that we're going to be taking a portion of that, the Gizbar is going to be taking a portion of that, using those funds for the carbon seabor. That is what's called a truma, taking a portion of the coins that are there. The Mishnayos and Shkalim go over in detail, what do I do with the truma? How many times a year do we do it? The answer is three. What happens to the shayare halishka? Any monies that are left over? Obviously, if we're just taking off a truma, there's going to be monies left over. What do I do with the shayarim? All this is discussed in detail in the Mishnayos and Shkalim. All we need to know is as follows. Is that we are right now saying that the first truma that's taken off now is going to be a point in the timeline. So that means to say that if the Geneva v'Aveda occurred before they took off the truma. Now, obviously, that means that the coins were en route to the Beis HaMikdash. They weren't there yet, obviously. Because we're talking about where the courier was carrying them over there. And they obviously have not arrived as of yet. And so, in a moment, we're going to explain a little bit better. If they haven't arrived over there, so how can we even describe it or refer to it as property of the Beis HaMikdash? That we're going to explain momentarily. But meanwhile, here's the halacha as the Mishnah stated, and that is that if the loss or theft occurred before the Beis HaMikdash was Torem, so then liability is going to be fallen on the town people who were the ones who were mafrit trumas amaisras. If, on the other hand, the loss or theft occurred after the truma was taken off, so then it was property of the Beis HaMikdash, and now the courier is going to be making a shvua to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we're learning together in the Mishnah Shkalim. Okay, and obviously all this is laid out because it's going to present a problem to what we learned over here in Bava Metzia. But let's see the Mishnah inside. I'm going to start again. We're on the very bottom of the Zayin Amud Beis. So, top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph, Nishban Ligizbarim, V'imlav Nishban Livnei Ha'ir, Uvnei Yerushalayim Acharein Tachteihem. So if the loss of theft occurred after the Truma, so this is a loss that is suffered by the Gizbar. And the courier is going to have to swear to the Gizbar. If, on the other hand, the loss of theft occurred before the Truma, so they're going to have to go back to the city and swear that they were not irresponsible. The courier is going to be swearing that he's not irresponsible. And what the city are going to have to do is they're going to have to take off Truma again. Okay. Nimtzu. And then just finishing up the Mishnah, the truth of the matter is that at this point in time already, the problem is laid out. I didn't spell it out yet. We're going to get back to it in just a moment. Just finishing up the Mishnah. Now, in the event that, let's say, the lost coins were found, or the stolen coins were returned by the thief, so and now we have not one but two donations that were made by the city for this year. So here's what you can't. So here's what you can't do. What you can't do is that you can't apply one of those coins to the upcoming year. In other words, both of these coins are going to be for current year, not for the upcoming year. Okay. And again, obviously that's interesting, but that's not our topic. Our topic over here is the following, and that is that obviously we're looking at the following problem. If the loss of theft occurred, in other words, the courier is what? So let's assume right now is a Shomer Chinam. Okay. Let's assume that. I already slipped a little bit in indicating that he wasn't a Shomer Chinam, but just for the purposes of setting this up, let's assume he's a Shomer Chinam. And if, in fact, he's a Shomer Chinam, let's assume he's a Shomer Sachar. Let's make it easier, even though there's a good argument to make that he's a Shomer Chinam. But okay. I'm sorry. I'm vacillating over here. Let's assume he's a Shomer Sachar. So if he's a Shomer Sachar, so what did we just learn together? A Shomer Sachar does not have to make a Shvua when it comes to a property owned by Hektish. And over here in this Mishnah Shkalim, he's doing exactly that. In other words, the loss of the theft occurred after they took off the Truma, which means that once they took off the Truma, these coins that were in his hands were property of the Beis HaMikdash. It's now Hekdesh. And what he's doing is he's making a Shvua. And we learned in Bava Metzia here in the fourth parak, you don't make a Shvua if you're a Shomer Sachar on Hekdesh. That's a problem. So the Gemara says as follows. So Shmuel says, okay. So our courier over here is making a Shvua, but not to relieve his liability. He doesn't need to make a shvua to relieve his liability. Again, this is mamash al hekdesh. There's no shvua required in order to relieve yourself from liability. However, what he would like to do is he'd like to get paid. Okay. Nowadays, the minhag is that whenever we hire a courier, so we pay them beforehand. But he would like to get paid. And so what he's doing now is that he's making a shvua to say that, look, what I did over here was I did my job, and I'd like to get paid. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay, Well, who's paying him? The Gizmor is not paying him. In other words, the members of the city are the ones who hired him in order to deliver. So, in other words, the language of the Mishnah, if Shmuel's right, that the Shmuel is just simply that he's making so that he get paid for services provided. And hopefully at this point in time, you're wondering to yourself, you know, he didn't provide those services. Okay, take that question, put it on the back burner. We'll come back to that momentarily. But meanwhile, even if you want to say that he's swearing so that he can get paid, he's swearing to the Gizbar. The Gizbar is not the one paying him. So Amar Rabba Nishmain Liv Nehair Ben Mamar Gizbar Kechadolo Nechshadinu Ve'inam Kechadolo Likur Luhu Poshem. So the Gemara says, you're right. In other words, really the Shvuah is made to the Bnei Ha'ir, because the Bnei Ha'ir are the ones that are paying him. It just happens to be that he's going to ask the Gizbar to be present at the Shvuah, so that he's making the Shvuah in front of the Gizbar, because what he's got to do is he's got to worry about his reputation. Meaning, from this point going forward, if this is his main livelihood, that he is a courier, well, the business is not going to go well from this point going forward. You know, we hired him last time, but
not a good track record.
Right? Not a good track record. Gneva, Vaveda. In other words, go with somebody else. So what he's going to do now, he's going to bring the Gizbar over so that hopefully that will be able to help him out with his reputation. So the Gemara says, good. So the Gemara says, okay. And you heard me struggling as I was trying to present this, because the Gemara now is going to be asking two what seems to be unbelievably strong questions. Question number one says the Gemara. We're calling him a Shomer Sachar. What happened over here? Geneva Vaveda. Geneva Vaveda are exemptions of liability for a Shomer Chinam, not for a Shomer Sachar. So number one, to call this courier a Shomer Sachar and he's going to get paid, why are we using the terms Geneva Vaveda not relevant to a Shomer Sachar? Number one. Number two, he's arguing that he should get paid. Why in the world is that a good argument? In other words, you argue you get paid if you do the job. But if you don't do the job, so then you're not gonna get paid. Geneva Vaveda is only going to remove the liability. And as we just pointed out a moment earlier, in this particular case, that's not even true. But let's even say that Geneva Vaveda is going to remove the liability. The only thing it's going to do is remove the liability. He's not going to then be entitled to say, hey, you know what? You asked me to deliver. I delivered. That's not true. He didn't deliver. And if he didn't deliver, he has no... What kind of demand is he making over here? Oh, and I should get paid. That's crazy. Okay, so those are two really strong questions. In our attempt to explain the Mishnah Shkalim, well, he's a Shomer Sachar. And the Shvuah that he's making is not an exemption of liability, but so that he get paid. That idea is really hard to support. Number one, Geneva Vaveda Shomer Chinam talk. Number two, how in the world is he expecting to get paid if he didn't do the job that he was paid to, that he's getting paid to do? Okay, so Amarava Nignava Ballistim Mizuyan Avdo Shetavos Vinasabayam. So Rava gives a fascinating answer. Now I say fascinating answer. This type of answer was given before, but watch its ramifications over here. When the Mishnah Shkalim says Geneva, what it meant is that you were held up by gunpoint. When it says Aveda, it means that you put the merchandise on the boat, in this case merchandise being Shkalim. And what happened was is that the boat went down in the ocean. Okay. In other words, ones. And because it's an ones, so in other words, is Shomer Sachar is pater from ones? Yes, he is. Now here we get to the interesting part, right? And my noodle got cooked with this one. And if you are a courier and you are now hired and paid to deliver an item, and because of an ones, the item didn't get there, you're still now entitled to ask to get paid. And I just find this to be fascinating, because that's effectively what the Gemara is saying, is that even though, despite the fact that it's an ones that prevented you from delivering it, but it was an ones, there were circumstances beyond your control, okay, but you know what? But pay me. Yeah, but the items never got from point A to point B. And his argument is, yeah, but that was circumstances beyond my control. Okay. So.
It's not Mazel Gorm. It's your problem.
Okay. I really do find it fascinating that he is entitled to ask for payment, even though mission not accomplished. Okay. Anyway, so there we are now. That Mishnah Shkalim. So we gave an answer. So far we've given one answer to that Mishnah Shkalim, and I have to admit it's a difficult answer. But the Gemara gave an answer. The Mishnah Shkalim is talking about now the courier who's making a shvua on Shkalim. Shkalim, where the Geneva of Aveda occurred after the Truma, which means that the Shekel belongs to the Gizbar. And now, how come he's making a Shvua? So the Gemara's first answer is, the Shvua that he's making is so that he get paid. Okay. That's answer number one. And as we just went through, it's a difficult answer, but at least it is possible. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Hamani Rabbi Shimoni. The Gemara now is going to be giving a second answer, and that is that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah in Shkalim is following Rabbi Shimon. Amar Kachem Shachai V'achriyusim Yesh Lamona and Minishpam Aleihem. Because of Shitas Rabbi Shimon, which is that if I have Kachem, where? The Kachem obviously does not belong to me, but if I have the liability on those Kachem, those are what's called Kachem Shachai V'achriyusim. This in halach is called a davar hagorem lamamon, and we know that the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is that the davar gorem lamamon is mamon. So even though it's not mine, but because I have its liability, therefore halach views it as if it's mine. That's davar gorem lamamon, and so over here this is a davar gorem lamamon. Therefore it's like mamon, and therefore Rabbi Shimon, if the Mishnah Shkalim is going like Rabbi Shimon, that's why you're going to be making a shvua. It's kachim, but halacha views it as yours. Hatena chashalon nitra matruma. Misha nitra matruma kachim shena chai bechrusim ninu. Detanya. So tormim ala avod, the ala gavoy, va ala asid legavo. So the Gemara says, okay, but even as we are trying to explain this Mishnah Shkalim, and the Mishnah Shkalim is going like Rabbi Shimon, when are you chai bechrusim? That's only pre truma salishka. Post Shumas Alishka, you are no longer Chayav Bachriyusam because, and I was teasing this point at the beginning, but now we get to say it. When the Lishka is now having its Truma being done, the first bucket of the coins is now being taken by the Gizbar in the Beis HaMikdash. They are collecting both on the holdings that are currently there and on holdings that are en route as well. So that means to say now, that those coins being held by the courier on his way to the Beis HaMikdash are viewed halachically as if they already were in the Lishka, which means now that this is no longer Kachem Shechayev Bachriyusam, this is Kachem She'enu Chayev Bachriyusam. And if that's true, so we're back to our problem. Meaning our Mishnah here in Bava Metzia told us that you're not going to be making a Shvua on Hekdesh, not a Shomer Chinam, not a Shomer Sachar, you're not making a Shvua on Hekdesh. And over here, the Mishnah Shkalim is describing him making a Shvua on Hekdesh, and we're trying to say, well, in our second answer, well, the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, and it's the Davar Gorm LaMamon. That's all well and good before the Truma's done, not after the Truma's done. So, Ella Amar Rabbi Lazar, Shvua Zu, Takanus Chachamim, Yishlo Yehe Ben Adam, Mezalzalim Be'Hekdeshos. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so this answer of Yochanan is not a defensible answer, so the Gemara now is going with an alternative answer. And that is, it's a Shvua Midrabanan. You're right. Me'ik or Adin, according to the strict letter of the law, no Shvua is required. The Shkalim are Hekdesh, belonging to Hekdesh, and you don't have to make a Shvua in the event of loss or theft. However, what the Chachamim wanted to do is the Chachamim just simply wanted to be more sensitive and be more careful. And even though the Torah does not require Shvua, but the rabbis did, in this particular case, so that people would have heightened sensitivity towards Shkalim and Hekdesh in general. Okay. I can. Takes us to the end of the first half of today's daf. So, yep. Okay. Not really. In other words, we still have a little bit more to go, but to the question of do you make a Shvua on Hekdesh? The answer is no. And it's that simple. The answer is no. And the problem is the Mishnah Shkalim describes a scenario in which he's making the shliach, the courier of the Machitzis HaShekel, is in fact making a Shvua, and it's just a question of whether he's making the Shvua to the Bnei Ha'ir, or he's making a shvua to the Gizbar, but he's making a shvua. And it's on Shkalim, it's on Hektish, and how do I understand that Mishnah Shkalim? And that's what we've been spending the first part of today's daf going over. So, if you're now a paid watchman, and what you are watching is Karka, Hektish, Shtaros, Avadim, so and something happens to them, so you do not make a shvua. So, Rami le Rav Yosef bar Chama le Rava Tana Nosis Acharina Mashalim. So the Urim Minhu Hasochers Apoa Lishmor Es Apara Lishmor Es Atinok Lishmor Es Azrayim Ain Nosin Lo Schar Shabbos Lefichach Ain Achray Shabbos Alav Haya Schir Shabbos Schir Chodesh Schir Shana Schir Shavua Nosin Lo Schar Shabbos Lefichach Achray Shabbos Achray Shabbos Alav. This happens to be a fascinating brisa that we're learning right now in terms of getting paid for doing work on Shabbos. Now, I know that sounds funny. In other words, you're not allowed to work on Shabbos. That part's true. But what about providing a service on Shabbos? Like, for example, babysitting, all right? Which is one of the examples given over here. Babysitting, cow sitting. In other words, being a shomer. So being a shomer on Shabbos does not require any violation of Shabbos. So you are doing something on Shabbos that could that you could get paid for. In other words, because you're not violating Shabbos. Are you allowed to get paid for doing work on Shabbos? Permitted work on Shabbos? And the Braisa says, depends. If you're hired for just Shabbos and Shabbos alone, so then no, you can't get paid for that. That in halacha is called Schar Shabbos. And Schar Shabbos is prohibited. I'm looking for the Rashi over here. So I'm just going to look in the let's call it just simply a bizayon of Shabbos. Okay, sorry. Okay, I got stuck in trying to find a Rashi, but it's just simply not appropriate for Shabbos. However, as we all know, and we're learning it right now in today's daf, and that is havlah. Meaning if you are, let's say, contracted not to work for just Shabbos, but you're contracted to work for the week, or the month, or the year. In other words, as long as it's a period of time where Shabbos is included, it's now muvlah, it's swallowed up, so to say, and you can get paid for the week, for the month, for the year. So if you're getting paid, let's say, as a babysitting job where you're now babysitting for a week, cow sitting for a week, so you can get paid even for the work that you do on Shabbos itself. Much discussion regarding a moel doing a job on Shabbos and a chazan doing a job on Shabbos. Okay, in other words, because they're presumably getting paid for doing something on and only on Shabbos. Okay, and this, as you can imagine, a lot of discussion, a lot of heterim that are found in order so that they could get paid. Okay, good. Anyway, from our perspective right now, here's the part that we're interested in. Allah Lamaisa ramifications are in fact fascinating, but we're interested in the following. And that is that if you get hired for just Shabbos by itself, you can't get paid for that. Therefore, you're not a Shomer Sachar. Therefore, you don't have liability. On the other hand, if you get contracted for a week, a month, any amount of time that goes beyond just Shabbos, so now you are considered Shomer Sachar, and therefore you do have liability. Now, over here, my love, Lishalem. So now, is that presumably what that means now is that you are going to be now a Shomer Sachar, and in the event that there is either Geneva or Veraveda, you're going to have to pay. And one of the examples that are given over here is that you're coming to watch the para, and para over here presumably is para duma, and tinok is a tinok that was involved with the para duma. In other words, I set it up as we're talking about just on babysitting, but these are actual services for the Beis HaMikdash. And alternatively, we're talking about zrayim. And what zrayim are we talking about? The ones that are going to be used for the Karban HaOmer. Which again, just timing-wise, pretty on point. Okay, so these are all services for the Beis HaMikdash. And you're going to be, and again, assuming that you were contracted correctly, where not just for Shabbos, but for the week or for the month. So now you are going to be Shomer Sachar, and now you're going to be liable, and liability presumably means that in the event of Geneva or Vaveda, you have to pay. Okay? And that goes against our Mishnah here in Bav Metzia. So the Gemara says, my love, l'sham lo, l'hafsit scharo. So again, the Gemara says, no. Over here, if you are negligent, negligence does not result in liability for have to make payment for the item that you were expected to watch. Negligence over here just simply means you forfeit your salary. That's all negligence means. So, So the Gemara says that's not a good pshat in the Braisa. It doesn't work. Because what was the first case of the Braisa? Well, you were hired for just Shabbos. And what did the Braisa say? There you have no liability. Now, no liability what? To lose your wages? You don't have wages. There are no wages for just Shabbos employment. So the Gemara says, Ishtik amalei midish mi'alei baha. So at that point in time, he was dumbfounded, meaning, you're right. In other words, the liability over here seems to be the standard liability of a Shomer Sachar. And I don't know what to tell you. You're absolutely right. So amalei hachi amar av sheshes b'shekana miyado, v'chein amar av yochan b'shekana miyado. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we'll have to say over here is that this is an unusual circumstance where you were hired by the Beis HaMikdash to watch whatever, the Paraduma, the children that are going to be doing the Paraduma, the Zrayim for the Omer, meaning, okay, good. And you're a Shomer Sachar. And the normal halacha does not require you to pay, over here, you accept it upon yourself, liability. This is what's called b'shekana miyado. In other words, you made a kinyan. Kinyan over here, not kinyan acquire, but kinyan to accept higher liability than normal. Now, why would you do that? Because they asked you to. And they're the Beis HaMikdash. And you agreed. Okay. That's the case that the Braisa is discussing. Which admittedly is, you know, in other words, we're not at the default settings. The default settings is that you wouldn't be chayev. But okay, but in other words, we have a difficult brisa. We have to explain the difficult brisa. Okay, good. We just attempted to do so. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kashim Shechai Bechrisam Yishlamo Na'a Sheinu Chai Bechrisam Ein Lamo Na'a. And now we're finishing up our Mishnah. So we learned back in the Mishnah the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and that is that if I've Kachim where I am Chayav Bechrisam, in other words, I'm going to be held liable upon the loss of that carbon. So then, there's going to be ona. Otherwise, there's no ona. Okay, good. This is Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso. This is a davar garm l'mamon. So tini tana kamei de Rav Yitzchak bar Abba. So kachim shechayev b'achriusam chayev. So over here in this brisa, it says that if I have kachim where I am liable, so then, and I'm asked to watch the item. So now I'm going to, Shomer's going to be chayev. So shani korebem b'ashem v'kichesh and sheinu chayev b'achriyusam potter sheba koreb shani korebem b'amiso v'kichesh. Okay, so in this brisa is clearly making a distinction between kachim where you're chayev b'achriyusam and kachim that you're not chayev b'achriyusam. And the brisa over here now is plugging this into where you ask to be a Shomer and you deny. And you, in other words, the owner comes back and says, can I have back my carbon? And you deny, and you swear, and then you finally admit. Okay, good. In other words, this is hachasha, the end of Parshas Vayikra, where we've gone over this time and again. And over here in this price of the distinction is, well, if it is a carbon where you're chayev b'achriyusam, you're chayev. And if it's a carbon where you're not chayev b'achriyusam, you're going to be potter. That in of itself is fine. Where the Braisa is just absolutely problematic is look at the psukim. In other words, carbon that you're chayev b'achriyusam, that's b'hashem b'kichesh. A carbon where you're not chayev b'achriyuso, that's ba'amito. Exactly the opposite of what we would expect it. So amalei kapalaya. And the Gemara says exactly that point, just the opposite. So ibcha mistabra. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to go back to that Braisa and flip the brisa. So Amar Lei Ismaya, Would you prefer that I just simply delete the brisa? Meaning the brisa is so corrupted, maybe we just delete it. So Amar Lelo, Hachi Kamar, Kashim Shechai Bechriyosem Chayav, Israbu Mi Ba Hashem V'Kichesh. And she'enu chay b'achriyusa pater di'im eit mi b'amasav kikesh. Okay, what we'll do is that we'll force a pshat into the brisa, where the first part of the brisa is inclusionary, and the second part of the brisa is exclusionary. Okay, so admittedly, it's not an easy way to read the brisa, but we could read the brisa that way, and at least we get to resuscitate and resurrect the brisa. We don't have to just simply dismiss the brisa out of hand. Anyway, what comes out over here is nothing changed. The brisa is just simply a reflection of the Shita Rabbi Shimon. It was just very hard in terms of lining up the brisa and the psukim. Okay, good. All right. One more point before we get to the mission. Rabbi Huda Amar Afa Mocha Sefer Torah Margulis of Ema Ein Lam Ona. Now, what is waived from Ona'a? So the big four: Karka, Kachim, Shtaros, and Avadim. Good. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says, I would like to add more. So what more does he add? So he says Sefer Torah Sefer Torah, a precious stone, and an animal, also going to be excluded from Ona. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afa Mocha Sefer Torah in Lo Anam Lefishin Lan Ketz L'Dameha. So as far as the Sefer Torah, so the Rabbi Yehuda in the Brisa gives a very simple svara. Can you really put a price on a Sefer Torah? Now the answer, Beinenu, of course, is yes, you can. Right. In other words, people do buy a Sefer Torah, but it is, right, to quote a famous commercial of days of old, it's priceless. Okay, so the that's number one. And number two, Behema Margulis Ein Lamonam Im Meshadam Rotsam L'Zavgan. As far as an animal is concerned, as far as the precious stone is concerned, why is there no Ona'a? Because they can be highly inflated for a good reason. And that is what I like to do, is I like to pair. You like to pair your precious stones and you like to pair your animals. Now, pairing precious stones, by the way, that makes perfect sense. You find a precious stone and the woman would like a second because she wants to make earrings out of it. Okay. So in other words, even though the stone is valued at, let's say, X, for her, 2X, 3X, meaning I have its match. For her, it is more, it means a lot more to her and it's valued at a higher rate. And what about animals? You like pairing animals? So Rashi says over here, sure you like pairing animals, because it happens to be that you found an incredibly strong animal. And when I'm running my plow, I like to hook it up. I like 2 horsepower, in this case, 2 cow power. And it happens to be that I have an animal that's a perfect match for that animal. Okay, good. So in other words, to provide the engine for my plow, so that animal is perfect. That's the perfect part for my plow. So these are items that you like to pair, and so therefore, for a particular buyer, it could be far exceeding its quote-unquote fair market value, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that these things are going to be waived from Ona. So the halacha does not go like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, ani chashiva, I'm sorry, amr lo v'alo kol adam rotsa lezavgan. So the Gemara says, okay, in other words, if you're talking about pairing items, so in other words, pairing items are not limited to just these things. So Rav Yehuda, ani chashiv alei v'hani lo chashiv alei. Rav Yehuda feels that these things are just simply chashiv, and that's why he highlights these items as opposed to others as well. So v'ad kama. Okay, now when Rav Yehuda says that they're way from Ona, what do you mean by that? Am ramei ad kidei demehim. Okay, so it's funny. In my example, I said 3x and 4x, and the Gemara says, no, even in Rav Yehuda Shita, that there's no Ona, no Ona means you can go up to 2x. But that's it. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, Amar Afa Mocha Sus, V'sayve Hatitos, V'mochama Ein Lamonam, Im Meshesh Bahem, Chayin Nefesh. So when it comes to horses, swords, and shields during wartime, so again, can you really put a price on these items? No, you can't. They're Chayin Nefesh. And Rabbi Yehuda will also include them to his list as well. Okay, so as far as the accepted halacha, meaning what is way from Ona, the big four, like we learned in the Mishnah, okay, Rav Yehuda is a das yachid, a shitas yachid. Okay, let's pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah. Tomorrow we finally get up to Ona's Dvarim. I know I've been promising it for a while. coming up tomorrow. Okay, in other words, not only are you allowed to not fraud financially, but you're not allowed to defraud people verbally as well. In other words, you're not allowed to insult another person. Okay, nicknames, insulting other people, coming up in tomorrow's daf. Let's start off tomorrow with the Mishnah.